Lord, teach us to pray. A small boy was sitting on a roof of a two-story house. The shingles were wet and the slippery, and the rope and the roof was sloped very steeply. The boy started to slide off the roof, and in fear of the fall, he cried out, "Lord, save me." "Oh, never mind, Lord. My shirt just got caught in the nail." This story aptly illustrates, I think, the fact that many of us don't recognize an answer to prayer, even when we get a direct answer. And many times we don't even remember to say thank you. As a layperson, I want to talk to you about prayer. Yet I hesitate to do that because I'm certainly no expert. I'm not a trained theologian. But perhaps I can talk to you about prayer better than your pastor, because you would be a little bit upset if your pastor admitted that he had problems with prayer. Prayer is one area in my spiritual life in which I feel a great need for help. If I acknowledge my weakness to you, perhaps some of you may be willing to admit that you too have some problems with prayer. And I don't mean silent prayer, I mean public prayer, out loud. I can remember as a high school lad when someone asked me to ask the blessing before a meal. And when they did that, I was so panicked that I refused to do it. Another time the request came so suddenly as people were poised to eat that there was just no way that I could dodge that without losing face. And I can remember how I stumbled and just how embarrassed I was. Still another time, I was in a small group. And as the meeting came to a close, the leader asked the people there, including me, if we would join in conversational prayer. And I'm sure that my heartbeat must have doubled. And as they started around the circle, and just as they came to that person who was sitting next to me, who was that person's turn to pray, that person picked the very exact subject that I was going to talk about and be thankful for, and my heartbeat redoubled. With no time to think of anything else, I think I did something stupid like, "Me too." And then I felt like 2 inches tall and tried to appear as small as I could and hope nobody ever noticed. I would just like to know right now, are there other people here today who have the same trouble with public prayers? Am I the only one in this boat? Would you be willing to raise your hand if you've got these problems? Well, that's comforting. Why should all of us learn how to pray out loud? We are told to imitate Jesus. And the four Gospels make it clear that Jesus prayed out loud. There are many examples when he prayed publicly out loud, and many examples when the disciples tell us the content of his prayers when they were with him. So he must have prayed out loud. Yet he taught his disciples not to pray publicly like the self-righteous Pharisee in the temple or like the hypocrites on the streets. He said, if you're going to pray that way, you go do it in the closet secretly. But at the same time, Jesus did teach his disciples to pray out loud and publicly. He gave a number of directions on how to pray, including giving us a model prayer to recite. So I know that if I am to be a disciple of Christ, then I need to learn how to pray so that I can obtain the power that comes from prayer, not for my own glory, but that I might do what the Lord wants me to do and serve him. We all need that kind of prayer and that kind of power. Unfortunately, through the years that I have heard people pray out loud, many of them have given very eloquent prayers with beautiful words. Some of them have strung erudite phrases together so rapidly and so smoothly that I realized that I could never match their finesse. I didn't have the gift for words, a glib phrase, for saying just the right thing or the right plea to God that sounds well and fits the occasion. Consequently, through the years, I've been so worried about what people will think of my prayer if I prayed out loud that I've been scared to even try. Suppose I stammered and stumbled. What will my children think? What will my friends think who know how many degrees I have and about my education? For a while, because I was unsure of God's love for me, you might guess that when I did try to pray out loud, all of my prayers were before people and for people and not to God. I thought that long prayers with big words might make an impression on somebody. And so for a time, the only kinds of prayers that I would give publicly were those that I wrote out for their benefit. It wasn't long until I realized that I was that Pharisee in the temple. Perhaps some of you are like me and have personal pride of what people might think, and that you have cut yourself off from the power of prayer. You're just scared to pray out loud. Because I've not been able to pray out loud until recently, that inability has also affected my silent prayers. Because I did not or could not pray publicly, to talk to God naturally and easily, I just didn't pray much at all, even silently. When I was faced with a problem, I would rather have wrestled with it, tried out my intellect to solve it by myself, and only when I had exhausted all avenues for a solution, that's when I went to God in prayer. Rarely did I ever say a prayer that was a word of praise for God's goodness to me, or a word of thanks for taking care of me. When I finally considered Jesus and his prayer life, I realized that the moment that Christ faced a problem, he took it immediately to God in prayer, or to his Father in prayer. He didn't wait to work it out himself. He seemed to pray continuously, giving thanks and letting God work through him. I suspect that many of you, like me, have treated God as a divine rescuer, some kind of magician who is suspected to work a miracle, or perhaps a special kind of Santa Claus that spoils you with good gifts. But that's making God into our own image to serve us. Another aspect of prayer is illustrated by the story that a friend of mine shared with me. He was telling me about a problem that they had in his church. He and two other friends had been praying about it, looking for an answer. But as the days went by, that problem wasn't solved. As my friend thought about the situation, he finally realized that the three of them had not discussed the problem together. And so sometime later, they got together and jointly prayed about that particular problem. When they met in joint prayer, he discovered that all three of them were praying for entirely different solutions. And obviously, God couldn't possibly answer their prayers with all three of them going against each other. Jesus tells us that when two or three are gathered together in his name and agree, then he is there and will provide what we need. The key, of course, is praying in his name. And the name carries all of the implications of what he is and what he did for us on the cross. But there also is the command to us to agree to what it is that we are seeking in his name. I don't know how many times that I have sat in prayer groups in which I have prayed silently, never telling my Christian friends where I'm hurting and what my needs are, or of my concern for other people. My friends can agree in silence, or agree that my silence is beautiful, or that the worshipful atmosphere is very pleasant. But how can they share with me in prayer and help me lift my burden or other people's burdens unless I'm willing to pray out loud and reveal my needs? I'm learning that I need to overcome my pride, to pray to God and not to people, not to worry about whether I stumble over words. Now when I pray for myself or about other problems in the presence of others, my friends can hear my prayer. I think I know sometimes when my friends come up to me and they're playing and I begin to pray out loud, they can say, "Yes, I agree with you, Larry, that's what you need, and my prayer is reinforced." Or, "Larry, I think I know someone who can help you." Or, "Larry, I think the Holy Spirit is telling me that isn't what you should be doing, and so I get reinforced or led a different way, and otherwise I just wouldn't know." So I'm learning that if I want any power in prayer, when I pray with other people, I must be open and honest and share out loud so that there is the possibility that we all can agree in His name for a solution. Because I'm now less worried about praying out loud, my whole life is changing. I used to pray to God in stilted, flowery language, and that's a bit hard to do. Now I find myself talking to God all day long, just short sentence prayers. "Hey God, isn't that sunset pretty?" Or, "Lord, I'm sure overweight. Do you think I could have that piece of cake?" You can guess what the answer is. Or, "Lord, I made an error when I yelled at John today. Help me to admit my mistake. He was right and I was wrong. Help me to go to him and apologize." Or, "Lord, Susie is such a crabby grouch. I don't like having her around. She makes me mad every time she gets around me. Help me to understand what her problem is, and help me to change my attitude toward her." Sometimes I say, "Lord." Sometimes I say, "Holy Spirit." Sometimes I say, "Father." But I'm starting to talk, and I'm starting to listen, and to do it in a very personal way. And I'm finding that He is now talking back to me. I once saw a bumper sticker, and I think some of you have seen it. If you are not close to God, guess who moved? And that is true for me. The reason why God has not been talking to me is that I have moved and avoided talking to Him. But He's always been ready to talk to me whenever I was. Another thing that I'm learning is that when I talk to God, I must be specific. Instead of some vague statement like, "God, please help those starving people," and "please help those people who are poor and need clothes," I find myself now saying, "Lord, tell me whether I need that extra coat or not, and can I give it away?" Or, "How much of your salary do you want to give to that family whose father has lost a job and hasn't had any money for 3 months?" I also hear the Lord saying to me, "Larry, believe when you pray." In the past, I've taken some of my problems to the Lord, and I've made a great pretense of handing them over to Him, but He doesn't have them very long, and I snatch them right back, and I'm going to solve them myself. So I have to pray, "Father, please help my unbelief." I would like to share one more aspect of out loud prayers that I think is important to all of us, lay people and pastors alike. I can think of many opportunities when I might have helped someone else with a prayer and I failed. Many times friends have shared a hurt or a problem in their conversation. Sometimes they've told me with such subtle hints of their concern for themselves, giving me an opportunity to ignore them if I want to. But hints so subtle that they could slip right by me if I wasn't alert to what they were doing. My friends are saying, "Here is a quick peek behind my mask. Underneath, I'm crying. But on the outside, I'm putting up a brave front and a bright facade. Look at my pretty smile." Sometimes I've caught the hints, and I'm ashamed to say that as my friend and I have parted, I have found myself saying, I will pray for you. What my friend wanted was help right there, not when I got around to praying for them. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to me now, and he says, Larry, ask your friend when he or she hints of some problem if we can stop right there and have a prayer together. If the answer is yes, then I'm to lift that friend up in prayer by name immediately. Sometimes I've learned that that prayer is the first time that that person has ever been lifted up by name. And wow, what an effect it has. When that happens, I'm sometimes surprised at the power of prayer. I've not needed to know the answer or to figure out the problem myself, just to lift it up to God. And wow, what happens? Sometimes I've seen prayers answered right on the spot. Words have come silently to the person that's praying, and he knows what he or she is supposed to do. And I'm amazed. If you ever go to a hospital to someone who is sick, never leave unless you ask that person who is sick if they would like to have a prayer together. And I say this particularly to all of you who are pastors that are here. I've heard more lay people say how delighted they were that their pastor came to visit them, but how disappointed they were that they didn't share a prayer with him. The pastor is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the church, and they don't pray. But you and I are also ministers. And we, as lay people, need to share with each other and pray for each other, praying out loud so that the Holy Spirit can work through us. When two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name and agree, that is when God can work through you. Teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder if you'd just take a moment and find out who your neighbor is by name right now. If you don't know who your neighbor is, ask them who they are, okay? That you may not know your neighbor well enough to know whether he can pray or not. But I would like you to take a moment in a babble of voices, just like you did, to lift that person up in name, personally, in prayer, and say, God or Father or Holy Spirit, thank you that John or Jack or Mary or Bill or Barbara is here sitting beside me, sharing the Holy Spirit with you. Whatever you would like to say, let's do it right now. Let's lift each other up in prayer. If you want to hold hands with the person, that's your privilege. Shall we pray together? Just reach over and lift that person up in prayer. Go right ahead.